If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, cause it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm Ramesh Ranganathan.
Hey Ramesh, nice to see you again.
No, I'm not introducing myself to you.
Oh, right.
It's for the benefit of the listener.
Oh, hey, and I'm Roomatch.
And we are, or we're not actually, we don't have
we any. We are Boyzone.
How are you, Roomatch? You good?
I'm good, yeah. I'm looking forward to this episode. It's good to be back.
It is good to be back, isn't it? Would you say that we've been, have we reached sporadic now?
I think we are. We're slightly how we started. It's very sporadic.
Yeah. What do you think we should do about it? Do we try and be more consistent, or do we knock it on the head, or what's your sort of thinking?
My thinking is we've got a couple more episodes to go this series,
and okay,
the world's going to open up again.
Yeah.
We'll all be together for series four.
And then we can get face to face. We can get back in that really claustrophobically sort of COVID unfriendly room and record face to face.
Starts again.
Yeah.
Are you ready for our guests? They've arrived.
Let's do it. Let's do it, bro. Let's do it. Hello, Leanne.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hi.
How's everyone?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good, except for, I'm just going to be absolutely honest with you, Leanne. Just before you logged on, Rupert and I did some sort of intro chat, and it's possibly the most boring fucking conversation that anyone's ever had. So,
like the olden day.
I was literally talking about my dinner. It was absolutely pathetic. But
more of a teeing you up that you might feel a bit sleepy and...
No, I'm not going to feel sleepy, but you know, like, I have you had your dinner, Leanne?
I have. I've got the plate
what did you have?
There. I had white bean stew with vegetables.
Okay, the way you described it was like that meal is illegal.
I don't know. I love food and I love talking about food, but it's so personal that I feel like I was scared to welcome any opinions on my choice.
Sure.
What do you think Ramesh has had for his dinner on a Monday night?
I don't know. Like some kind of sandwich with a side of salad. I don't know.
Do you know what that feels like you've done there? Do you know what it feels like you've done? You know when somebody says, "How old am I?" and you deliberately guess lower because you want to compliment. What that's got is you've looked at me. There's no fucking way you looked at me and you thought I've had a soup and a like.
What?
That's absolutely.
Well, I don't know. You might have done.
Come on.
I was thinking. No, I tell you what I was really thinking. It's that I don't want to assume what you've eaten because you may have dietary requirements that I don't know about. So I don't want to say, you had a steak, and then you're like, I'm sorry, I don't
eat
meat.
Do you know what? You're absolutely correct. I'm vegan.
There you go.
Look at that.
There you go.
You're absolutely right. Well, I'm just looking at the time. We're 1 minute in and I've mentioned it. This is great. So anyway, in answer to your question, I had a roast dinner.
Oh, lovely.
Because which we normally have on a Sunday in our house.
Yeah.
And on it, my wife put a corn on the cob.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Well, you shouldn't have that. Isn't that the sort of thing where if you post it on social media, then everyone goes, "You fucking piece of shit,
ruin the run."
Yeah.
But like the pineapple and pizza.
Yeah.
No, but where I come from, it's very normal to have all kinds of interesting bits and bobs on your roast dinner.
So if somebody,
because we're Jamaican, so we'd be having, instead of a fried breakfast as we know it, we'd have like fried plantain on the thing and kallaloo and ackee, as well as baked beans and eggs and stuff. So
okay, well, you've made me feel a bit better about that. But
I was thinking, what if I didn't have time to eat before? Like, would it be okay to eat while we're doing?
Yeah, of course
the
it
thing?
Would have been.
Maybe it's okay for you to eat. Like, yeah. I'm okay with it personally.
Although I would say that we've only ever had one person eat on the podcast before, and that was Catherine Wright. we had more complaints about that episode than we've had about any episode.
Really?
Yeah, because some people are like, I don't want to hear mastication on a podcast. You know what I mean?
Some people do. So.
Fair.
Yeah, some people are into it.
Yeah. Like on YouTube.
ASMR.
Yeah.
It's a weird world.
Yeah. Do you watch those ASMR videos?
I can't do it.
No,
I can't. Is.
You know when they like, when they're like, I'm going to open the packet now. I'm enjoying a sandwich. I'm going to open the sandwich packet.
You do a hip hop ASMR, maybe.
What, rap whispering?
I've just bought the new Drake EP. It's covered in cellophane. I'm taking the cellophane off. No, something like that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I'm actually slightly, I can't carry on because I'm sort of creeping myself out a bit. But anyway, sorry, this is such a bullshit start to. Sorry, Leanne. How
it's
are you?
It's not. It's a good icebreaker. I'm very well. Thank you.
Thank you. How so. I'm very good. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Like a genuine, you know. I was about to say, like, we've got a genuine talent on it, but then I realised that's a massive fucking insult to everybody else you've had on the podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've had some great guests.
Finally, so. After the pieces of shit we normally have on this podcast, we've got someone that can actually do something. God.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you very much. And, yeah, everyone's been cool, I'm sure.
Yes, they've been great. How's lockdown been treating you?
Not too bad. To be honest, the first lockdown I found very, very stressful and very hard work because I was releasing and promoting my album essentially from my living room.
Mm, yes.
So, yeah, it was a first. I overcame a lot of challenges that were presented from this very unique circumstance. And I feel like, yeah, I found my stride a bit now and I did the bulk of the promotion of the album last year, so I kind of feel a bit more free now to work on other music and reconnect with, you know, my friends and family who maybe I wasn't able to connect with as much in the first lockdown.
But that album, am I right in saying that album took you, it's like 5 years in the making? Have I exaggerated that?
No, it's true. I mean, I suppose it was 5 years since I released my last work before this.
So was there any part of you that was thinking maybe we should wait until we can put it out in sort of a relatively more normal set of circumstances? Or were you thinking it's ready, let's just do it and whatever? What was your sort of thinking on that?
I had like pretty much 50-50.
Really, yeah.
I was like, I would love to just wait because this seems really scary to try and do this now. But also, you know, it's ready. And I'm ready. And I felt like I just would rather not sit on it for ages and then it becomes stale for me, perhaps. So, yeah, I went with the option to release and I'm so glad I did. Please stop asking, do you still love me? Don't have much to say, let's speak. Don't know what to tell you, babe. No more hanging around. Did it feel weird trying to was it weird promoting it from your house, basically? Yeah, very weird. I had to one of my most stressful but also most rewarding memories from this was doing a performance for Jules Holland, and I just didn't realise, I just think kudos to people who make TV work, you know, like it was just such hard work to make all this footage, get the lighting right, get the sound right, get my outfit right, my hair, my makeup. Then you got to upload all the footage, which took about 7 hours.
Yeah.
I didn't know about any of this. And then, I mean, thank God we managed to get it all done. But yeah, I was so proud of how it turned out, considering everything that was going on behind the scenes.
Is that right?
So yeah.
You were one of the first artists to sort of do a live, was the Roundhouse? Was
apparently
that?
I'm one of the first.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I know Laura Marling did one.
How was that experience without an audience?
And I think once I'd done the gig, I was able to feel like the normal feelings that you have after a gig, you know, the kind of excitement and euphoria. But before it, I was very stressed and it was a whirlwind. I didn't know what was going on. You don't know who's watching, so there's, of course, some awkward silence, which I thought, I'll just embrace that.
Were you chatting to the audience then in between tracks or whatever? And
yes. I was acknowledging that there were lots of people there.
Nice. Yeah. I've been doing, like, comedy gigs on Zoom, and, like, they have... They'll have, like, a front row of, you know, a virtual front row of, like, 20 people or something. And then... You've got like however many people watching, and it's just so weird. Like, just doing a gig, and then, like, occasionally, like, you'll do a joke and it doesn't get anything, and you think, oh, fuck, was that bad? And then it's because the connection's like gone a bit glitchy. And then I remember the most embarrassing thing was that I did a joke and it got nothing, and I went, oh, can everyone hear me? And they went, yeah. And I was like, oh, that just joke just died on its ass. Like, it got exactly the response it was supposed to, which was nothing. It's so mad.
Have you done any gigs where there isn't an audience fed in or whatever? Because there's a few of those, aren't there, in comedy? But I can't imagine, as a comedian, or let alone a musician, how you bounce off any of that silence.
Well, Leanne, are you affected by the crowd, like when you perform, or do you just do your thing and you're...
I personally am, but having done so many things now where there's been no one, it's made me, like, think about it more, like... are we really affected by the audience? Because really, if you're there and there's no audience, you're still going to do the same thing that you were going to do.
So
I think it's hard to... I think it helps, encouragement helps you, doesn't it? Like, if people like you and they're cheering that they like you, then that is going to make you feel a lot better.
The only thing I slightly worry about is, like, when I started doing stand-up, like, when you first do gigs in, like, you know, you're doing your open mic gigs or whatever, when an audience laughs, when a gig goes well, I couldn't sleep. You know, I'd be, like, buzzing my tits off. Like, oh, my God, this is incredible. Couldn't sleep. Like, wake up my wife just going, I think I've mastered comedy. Do you know what I mean? Just properly buzzing, right? And then as you get more experience, you don't stop buzzing. Like, you do enjoy it still, but you're not buzzing. Like, I don't finish the show, it goes well, and I'm like, you just sort of, that's your job, like, that's sort of your job. It doesn't become boring, you love it, but, like, you don't buzz like that.
But it's not brand new and
exactly,
different.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm worried about is going back to do that first tour show after, like, we come out of this. I feel like it's going to be, like, the first time a big laugh hits me, God, let's hope it does, the first time a big laugh hits me, I might just go, oh, my God, this is incredible, just, like, completely, like, fucking... Do you know what I mean?
Up for a couple of days.
Yeah, just lose my way during the show.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think it is going to be, like, the first time for everyone again. I'm so exciting.
Do you have tour dates sort of locked in and stuff?
I've got a show... Two shows that I wanted to do in November when they opened up everything for a while.
Yeah.
Then that's been moved a few times. So hopefully I can do that. And then, potentially some things in the pipeline. Nothing's guaranteed.
No.
Check back with me later. Check on my Instagram.
Yeah, I keep...
For all the latest updates.
I don't know what your people that come to see you are like, but the people that come to see me are sort of very, they're sort of quite, some of them are quite aggressive, so for example you know, I've had to move dates like three or four times, and then a couple of times I got messages from people going, I cannot believe this date has moved again, and I'm just like, I didn't design the virus, do you know what I mean? Like, this is I don't know what to tell you, man.
Like, that's the thing, there's always going to be someone that is displeased and they're gonna blame you.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip hop?
Okay, so Leanne, you're a hip hop fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now I don't know how, if you've ever listened to this podcast before, but what I would say is, please don't worry about getting too nerdy or anything like that, because
I'm not like that. I'm not a hip hop nerd. But also proud of what I do know.
Yes, great. So that's
the thing.
So I'm just trying to put that out there, because sometimes last few episodes we've had people that sort of get a little bit nervous at the top because they think that we're going to talk about, oh, did you get that that purple limited edition vinyl of People Under the Stairs, like the one that only came out, sort of, you could only get it in Camden.
For half an hour.
Yeah. It's not going to be that, so don't worry about
it's
that.
It's fine.
So, Leanne, what was your route into hip-hop? How did you kind of first get into it?
Probably through my mother. When I was growing up, she was always the one with her finger on the pulse and had the coolest stuff. So, yeah, it would just be like whatever was blaring out of her car.
Yeah.
And let's say in the late 90s, that was like the Fugees, pretty much, and Jill Scott. And from discovering those artists, I found my own pathway.
Yeah.
So then I started listening to, became obsessed with, you could say, Eminem and Dr. Dre, therefore, and D12 and all of that. And then Busta Rhymes and Missy Elliott stole my heart. Yeah. And also, of course, Mary J. Blige. And yeah, I don't know, NERD, loads of stuff.
Did you?
And that's just when I was kind of growing up.
Right. And when you're, like, did you always think your mum was cool?
Yes.
And did you ever go through a phase?
I think she's cool.
And did you ever go through a phase of not thinking she's cool?
Only when she would do embarrassing things. Mm. Like if I was doing a concert, like she'd make me wave to her from the stage, like, and I'd be like, "Wow, Mum, you're really embarrassing, actually." So yeah, only those times. Other times, most of the time, she's very cool.
The reason I'm asking is because my eldest son is 11.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to get my children into hip hop, but they just don't think I'm cool at it. Like My eldest son's like getting embarrassed to me. It's embarrassed to me, and it's like, and I don't understand.
You need some advocates. You need people to basically big you up in front
of
your son.
Well,
your wife should be a good one.
Yeah, whoever they.
I don't think it's cool. I don't think he's going to think I'm cool because his mum says I am. I don't know how that would work.
You could call on some of your celeb mates that he knows.
To give you an idea, Leanne, we had KSI on this podcast.
Yeah, amazing.
And I said to my son, I went KSI on the podcast today, and he goes, "What?" I said, "I go with KSI on the podcast." He goes, "What, on your podcast?" I went, "Yeah." And he goes, "Why would KSI come on your podcast?" I said, "Because it's a hip-hop podcast. He likes hip-hop."
Because your dad is cool.
Yeah. Well, I did say a bit of that. And then he demanded to see a photo because he didn't believe.
Right.
Then I showed him the photo. And then he just said, like, he looked really embarrassing that I was trying to be, like, apparently the way I was stood in the photo was like I was trying to be, like, cool or whatever. And I guess what I'm saying
sounds like this is going to take some work.
Yeah, it's going to take some work. It's going to take years. And it's going to... I think it might be something he's going to explain to a therapist later on in life, to be honest with you. Do you know what I mean? I don't... So anyway, that's my own personal thing. I'm not here to talk about that. So your mum kind of got you into it, and then you got into Eminem, Dre and Busta Rhymes. What was it about those people that kind of stood out to you?
I think it was very much just what I was seeing and hearing just had a big effect on me, because I just really was into the beats. I was really into the raps that I could follow along, and I could, you know, I could do my own versions of them to myself, and, you know, and all of that. Like, it just was very accessible, it felt like, even though obviously it was very parental advisory, etc.
Yeah.
But,
What was your mum's attitude towards swearing in music? So I sound very obsessed with the parental role here. Sorry about
you
that.
You are a bit, but it's fine.
I'll move on from it.
No, it's fine. She didn't mind. But I remember one time I got my dad to buy me Eminem and D12, and the song came on, and it was like, "You can suck my dick if you don't like my shit." Mm. And I was listening with my dad, and I was like, oh my god.
So you can suck my dick if you don't like my shit. cause I was high when I wrote this. So suck my dick.
Two pills I pop till my pupils swell up like two pennies. I'm Clint Eastwood in his mid-20s. A young ass man with a trash can strapped to the back of his ass so the rats can't shoot through his last pants. I'm like a mummy at night, fighting with bright lightning, frightened with five little white Viking and pills biting him. I'm like a fucking wasp in a hospital lost, stinging the fuck out of everything I come across in the halls. I light a candle.
Oh, I'm really sorry, guys. I just like the music. So that was a little embarrassing, but you know, I think they understood, you know, I'm not going to go out and use all of this language in my everyday life to strangers.
It's a pretty deep lyric, to be fair.
What, if you can suck my dick if you don't like my shit? Do you know the thing is that, it, like, because you get so used to it, it doesn't even register.
Yeah.
You just think, why would anyone put that on a song? Like, the way you just said it, so you can suck my dick if you don't like my shit. When you say it like that, it sounds absolutely horrendous.
It's very offensive. And that's the thing. Maybe it was like disguised really well because the music was so interesting that you just kind of don't register how extremely awful the lyrics are.
There's also in D12 Bizarre,
whose
only mission seems to be to say the most horrific, disgusting shit.
He said the most horrific things.
Yeah.
It was. I couldn't actually listen to a lot of the stuff he particularly was saying.
It's not like the rest of D12 were being particularly sort of PG, and he just thought, I just, because like, look, I hope Bizarre doesn't hear this. But you know,
what if he does?
Well, if he does, he can.
Now I'm worried.
Then we got beef.
Yeah, then we got beef, and then suddenly we get ourselves some listeners. Do you know what I mean? But the thing with Bizarre is, you know, I like D12, but Bizarre, bars wise, is possibly sort of the least kind of technically skilled, right? So I think he might have sort of consciously thought, well, do you know what? If I can't spit quite like the others, what I'm gonna do is say the most horrific shit that I possibly can.
Do you think it was more for the attention?
I think so. I think he's
for the spotlight.
Yes, I think so. You know, if you're in a group, you're in any group, you want to sort of represent properly. If you're in a group that sort of fraternizes with Eminem, who's arguably one of the best to ever kind of pick up a mic, then you've got, I guess you're sort of thinking, well, what do I do here? Because like,
that's true. It's one, and honestly, I was supporting them because I loved Eminem. Yeah. I was like, yeah, if Eminem likes this, then yeah, I'll like this.
I mean, that's, listen, yeah, that's what they based their whole, that was their whole fucking business model. Do you know what I mean?
It's Well, I know that now, looking back. I was 12 at the time.
Yeah, basically the meaning is, you can suck my dick if you don't like my shit. I know that you only like me because we hang out with Eminem. That's kind of what the...
exactly.
The underlying thing.
And then we're going to get Eminem to sing that part of the song. Yeah. Get him featured. Yeah, so it'll be fine.
Are they still performing? Are they still around, the D12?
No, there's been some stuff. One of them passed away.
Yeah, Proof passed away. And I don't think they're still doing their thing. I don't know what the situation is with Eminem and them, to be honest with you. But Bizarre, if you want to get in touch and update us, please do let us know, man. We'd love to know exactly what the situation is. Now, Busta Rhymes, have you listened to Busta's latest album?
I actually haven't.
Right. So and listen.
No.
Let me tell you something, right? Whenever I hear about somebody that I used to love, or that, you know, that's been going for a long time, and they come out with an album after a long time, you think to yourself, is this going to be all right? And also, this is,
you're
called
scared to listen.
Yes, yeah, scared to listen, in the same way that I was scared the other day to watch Coming to America 2, right? So I was scared
is
to
it
listen.
Worth watching
Coming to America 2? I think for the, you know, out of respect for the people involved in the project, I'd rather sort of I'd rather keep my views to myself.
Oh, no.
It was good, you know, everyone, I think it looks like everyone turned up on time and it was lit well. But listen, Busta Rhymes, so Busta Rhymes did Extinction, just brought out an album called Extinction Level Event 2, the sequel to Extinction Level Event, which doesn't mean anything really, album sequel. I don't know, Leanne, if you've ever got any intentions of doing an album sequel, Leanne LaHavas 2, I don't know if that's ever...
Aren't they kind of all sequels? Like, they could all be called Leanne LaHavas 1, 2, and 3. So maybe that's the easy route out.
Yeah, I mean, it just saves you a few minutes when you're thinking about the titles.
Is the sequel, is it unique to hip-hop, that sort of format?
I think it might be, because, like, when Eminem came out with the Marshall Mathers LP 2, everybody got really excited, like, oh my God, he's doing Marshall Mathers LP 2. Yeah, but it's still the same guy. Like, it's not a storyline. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I understand if you're excited about Tom Cruise doing the new Mission Impossible, because that is the film. Do you know what I mean? An album, you know, like, if you go, I remember, like, people did it about Raekwon, when Raekwon, you know, Only Built for Cuban Links is such a classic. And then he's like, he's going to do Only Built for Cuban Links 2. And you go, yeah, but you also did a whole load of albums in between that you didn't buy. So, but now, because it's named after that classic album, you go, like, this is definitely going to be better because he decided to call it Only Built for Cuban Links 2. I find it very confusing. It's not confusing. I just sort of think, you know, it doesn't make any sense. But what I will tell you, having said all of that, that sort of waffling diatribe I've just issued, Extinction Level Event 2 is a stone cold banger.
Okay, good.
Oh my God.
Thank God.
So good.
Look, bitch, it's my city. You get smacked silly. Throw it with yours, give me. Back to shut shit down. Nigga, fuck with me. Jail music for riots. Catch the smoke 50. Fuck the place up till I turn 160. Now I'm here to stretch it up. Motherfucking lift it up. Get your niggas drunk till you lay in your bed and piss it up. Now I'm back with the coke to make you all sniff it up. And skirt, skirt in the race. Watch me Tokyo drift it up. Take this loss. All day sauce.
I support him because, you know, back in the day, I can't part with my relationship I had with the music back then. And so it's still, you know, close to my heart is Busta Rhymes.
There's an amazing video that I did a show on BBC Two, and we included this video. We're talking about celebrity relationships with their fans, like how they interact with their fans, right? And there's a video of Busta Rhymes, like, years ago, back when it must have been like when he was absolutely, like, put your hands where my eyes can see, like that kind of, you know, that when he was super famous, crossed over, everybody knew who Busta Rhymes was, right? And it's like Manchester or somewhere. And he's walking to his tour bus, and there's this woman and her kid just going, Busta, Busta, can we get a photo, please? Busta Rhymes, can we get a photo? And then he just ignores them and goes to get into the bus. And then this woman just goes, oh, so ignorant. And he stops and he turns around and he goes, excuse me, did you call me ignorant? And then she goes, yeah, because you won't do the photo, right? And he goes, you are an ignorant bitch. And then the whole crowd just go, oh, and he goes, I want to take a shit. You telling me I shouldn't go and take a shit? And they said I should take a photo with you and then shit on myself? Is that what you want? Like, it was so good, man. And she's going,
that's a good point. You can't argue with that.
Yeah. And then she's just going, oh, he's been ever so rude in front of the kids, isn't it? Awful.
He's a human being. The rest of us. Yeah. And we always have to remember that about famous people. Is that they shit too.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Yeah, that's absolutely right.
That could be a new sort of, you know, charity.
What? Famous people shit too.
What do you mean? And then what would you be donating money to?
Need, but like celebrities in need, something like that. I'm just ripping.
Celebrities in need for what though?
A shit.
Yeah, but then what are you spending the money on? What are you donating money for?
Get them more privacy.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
Than they have, you mean, already.
Leanne, the idea, yes. You're so polite that you're actually trying to fucking scaffold Rupert's dreadful idea.
Finally. We'll take this offline and work it through.
And then we'll present it.
Yeah.
Present it properly.
So anyway, listen, that's a recommendation, Leon. It's a recommendation.
All right. I appreciate it.
Also, what I would say is, just to sort of put in your locker, Famous People Need to Shit Too. Great album title, potentially.
I prefer the first one.
Wait, what was the first one?
Famous People Need to Shit.
Oh, God.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Hey, man, what's your favorite hip-hop album?
Leanne, what would you say is your favorite? What's your favorite hip-hop album of all time? I know that's a difficult question.
I thought it was a difficult question until I remembered how much I love Missy Elliott. I'm gonna say Miss E, So Addictive.
Missy be putting it down. I'm the hottest round. I told your mother, y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now. I'm lasting 20 rounds. And if you want me, then come on, get me now. Is you with me now? Then biggie, biggie bounce. I know you dig the way I switch my style. Holla, holla. People sing around. Now people gather round. Now people jump around. Get your freak on. Get your freak on.
How come you love me? By the way, I went into that question suggesting that I don't agree with you, but why do you love Missy Elliott so much?
I have always loved her songs and her voice, number one. I think she has always had this like amazing avant-garde style and this out-of-the-box thinking, and just generally she seems to always be the only one in her field.
Mm.
So, yeah, even back in the 90s, like, she was just the only one that looked like her, yeah, that sounded like her doing that thing, and just, you know, easily as heavyweight as a lot of the male hip-hop stars that were around at the time. And I think she's still on top,
yeah,
still queen. Love her.
If you put her records on now,
mm-hmm,
they still sound current. Like, do you know what I mean? Like I agree. You can take any one of her albums or singles or whatever and stick them on now, and they sound so great. And she was
sounds
like,
fresh.
Yeah, it does. And actually, this happened to me a lot, like around the time when Missy first came out. But like, I didn't like Missy when she first. You know that I didn't like it. I just thought this isn't for me. I couldn't get my head around it because it was so different at the time. And then it was almost like I then grew to realize why it was. Do you know what I mean? It's like that thing where you go,
yeah,
I can't. This isn't like what I normally listen to. This isn't like what I've normally seen. So now I'm just going to go, this ain't for me. And then it's only like a bit later on that I was like, this is fucking like, she's a genius. Like, do you know what I mean? It's amazing. Like, she's
yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
She is so good.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's still in it, but I've just played a mouse in this film, Cinderella. And
yeah,
Missy Elliott was playing the town crier. And I was,
really?
Yeah, I was very excited to meet her. But as I'm saying that, I didn't meet her because we didn't have any sleep together. And I also don't know if she still went on to do the film. So actually, everything I've just said could be legally.
It is a good story.
Yeah, it's a great story, isn't it?
Shall we wait and see?
Yeah, Leanne, do you want to hear the story about how I didn't meet Missy Elliott because she didn't do this thing I was involved in? That's basically, I think a lot of people have got that story. I also did a thing that Missy Elliott wasn't in.
Mine was just going to Sainsbury's and she wasn't there.
Oh,
God.
Guys.
I know. So what hip-hop, do you how much hip hop do you listen to now? Do you listen to much now?
Yeah, actually. So what happened is I broke my phone recently, and I got one of my older phones back into play, and the Apple Music thing wouldn't work on it.
Mm.
And all that I had was whatever had been downloaded on that phone. So it turned out I just had loads of Drake and everything and also Kendrick Lamar to Pimp a Butterfly.
Oh, lovely.
So I and what's the Drake album with Hold On, We're Going Home?
Well, that is a great question for somebody who's a bigger Drake expert than me, because I don't know. Rupert?
I don't either.
It's called Nothing Was the Same,
right?
That one with the blue
the little side profile one. yeah
his, like, you know, his classic album.
Yeah.
So it's that, it's To Pimp a Butterfly and Some Everything Everything. And yeah, for months and months and months, that's all I could get on my phone.
I imagine that's quite nice. Yeah. Just focusing on a couple of albums. Not
exactly. And so I was going to say, what I've been listening to, it's reignited my obsession with To Pimp a Butterfly.
Mm.
I think it's just, it's amazing. It's unbelievable, timeless. And I, yeah, just really love Kendrick Lamar.
Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. Kunta, black man taking no losses.
Oh yeah.
Bitch, where you and I was walking. Now I run a game, got the whole world talking. King Kunta, everybody wanna cut the legs off him. When you got the yams.
What's the yams?
The yam is the power that beat. You can smell it when I'm walking down the street.
Oh yes, we can. Oh yes, we can.
Do you find that music gets ruined for you because you do it ever? Like, do you ever listen to it and think this is really easy to do? I don't get why people like this.
You're not talking about Kendrick.
No, obviously not.
Okay. No.
Although it would be incredible if you unmask Kendrick as a charlatan.
Imagine. I think it's possible. But no, I was gonna say music isn't ruined for me. A lot of, I think I do tend to analyse things, maybe, a bit differently.
Yeah.
But I think the rule remains that if the thing is just amazing, then it can't be, even if you do analyse it loads, it's amazing. Yeah. You're analysing it because you're so in awe of it.
Yes.
You know?
It's not always about being complicated and technically difficult, is it? Like, sometimes things things just have something else to them, don't they?
That's what it is. I think that's what I like about the music that I like. It's that it's got some other thing going on, and it's not just that I'm impressed by how many chord progressions and different shapes and you know, all the technical bits. Like, there are some people that are impressed by that, but yeah, it's just got to have another quality to it, and I think that's the soul that it's got.
And is it right, you have some Biggie on the phone as well?
Yes, I've got Machine Gun Funk, so just the one song. But it was played to me like 10 years ago, and I was like at a party or something, not recently, obviously.
No, of course.
But in the before times, yeah. I was at a party and I remembered that tune, and I was like, oh, this would go off. So I searched the one song and put that down there. So yeah.
So you wanna be hardcore with your hat to the back, talking about the gaps in your raps, but I can't feel that hardcore appeal that you're screaming. Maybe I'm dreaming. This ain't Christopher Williams, still some empty got the feel one. Cats, I got the feel some. To let niggas know that if you fuck with Big and Heavy, I get up in that ass like a wedgie. Says who, says me, the lyrical.
The reason I mention it is because I've just started, well, I say started, I've listened to loads, but just recently started listening to, again, Ready to Die, the album that came off.
Yeah.
And fucking hell, man, like, it's not like I need reminding, but Biggie was so, he's so good, that album's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's like, he was the one.
Have you watched the Netflix documentary? Have you seen that yet?
No, I've not. So it's what is the documentary? Is it about his life or is it about...
Yeah, it's about his life, but there was a guy, I can't remember his name, but he, throughout his whole career, just followed him around like with a video camera. So it's like amazing footage and like from day one sort of thing.
Okay, how long is this prick sitting on this footage for? Because like...
I don't know, I thought, yeah.
What's going on here, mate? You said he decided now was the time.
Yeah, incredible though.
Is it good? Yeah.
Yeah, you'd love it.
I've just bought a massive, we're moving house, Leanne.
Because it's stressful.
It is stressful. And so I've got a little office set up in the new place. And my wife said to me, choose some artwork for it. I've bought a massive, I would argue too big for the room picture of painting with Biggie.
Amazing.
I'm so excited about it.
I think the bigger the better.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's of Biggie, it should be disproportionate to the room size.
Thank you very much. I'm going to tell her that you said that because she's a fan. If I can tell
her
she said that. Okay, great.
Do you have this commissioned or are you just like off the shelf purchase?
It's not. It's somewhere in between those two things. I didn't have it commissioned, but it's like is one of a limited... They say limited, but everything's limited, isn't it? It's not like they've not done infinite copies of this picture. So obviously everything... So when they say limited run, mugs like myself, in the same way that I do for trainers, just get all excited like a little fucking hype beast twat. And then go, I've got to get it now. So there you go, I've got it. But there's probably like a... I remember I was on holiday. Oh, this happened to you guys. I was on holiday in Kenya. We ride down out of the hotel. We go. There's a guy in a running a stall. Tells us his story about how he's just trying to make a living doing these paintings. And this is one that he did. And then I haggle with him. I buy it. And then we go into town the next day. Every fucking shop's got them. Do you know what I mean? I'm not trying to.
Yeah, it's the most frustrating thing though. You just want a good deal, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. So live now, Leanne. We're always moaning on this podcast about live hip hop,
what, that it's not good enough,
basically,
or something.
Basically, if somebody took somebody that didn't know Leanne LaHavis's music to a Leanne LaHavis gig, what would happen is you've got a good chance of that person becoming a fan after going to that gig. My problem is that whenever I take friends of mine to come and see a hip-hop act that I really love, they come to the gig and afterwards they say, why the fuck do you listen to that? Because so many times, like the sound's not right, or they don't really give a shit about the live show because they've come over to the UK like on a contractual obligation or something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I've seen it so many times. So like, have you been to many hip-hop gigs? And what I really want to know is, have you been to any good ones?
I know what you're saying about, you know, there's always something, isn't there? And I think it's harder when you're not just a singer.
Yeah.
Who's also got, I'm fortunate to have like a live band. So there's just always guaranteed there's going to be some real live music happening. So I know what you're saying, because a lot of it is backing tracks, being, you know, triggered by someone. So I was skeptical about the one that I was going to see. I was like, well, how are you going to convey all the emotion that I feel when I listen to your recordings? But they nailed it. Whatever they did, they nailed it. It was Kendrick Lamar at Coachella 2017.
Coachella?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was actually amazing. I was, like I said, I was very skeptical, because also festivals, that anything can happen at a festival. Stuff tends to go wrong. So it was astounding. It was so artistic. I think he basically like nailed it with the kind of the aesthetic of it, and then just happened to have really good sound. And he just has so much charisma, like, and you could... It was so believable, basically. Like, you really see that he is into art and he is into making himself this, you know, into this thing, using himself as a canvas. So I loved it. I was obsessed.
But you were a Kendrick fan, so you were excited because you'd listened to his music, and then the gig matched up to that, right?
Yeah, and it was just at the time that DNA and all of that had just come out.
Yeah.
So there was obviously loads of hype around it, but he took it all in his stride. I thought it was so beautiful.
What was
showcasing all the talent behind it too. Just, that's me analysing it as another musician, but it was just very well done.
Yeah.
I loved it.
What was Coachella like? Is it amazing to go Coachella?
I think, to be honest, because I'm an artist, it was different for me than it would be for a regular punter. There's like a whole thing where you can't drink alcohol in the normal, just walking around. You have to go to a specific area to consume the alcohol, then you go see the gig. Whereas at Glastonbury, you can do whatever, wherever. So it's different in that way. But like, it's obviously amazing scenery. The weather is amazing. Everybody's beautiful. And yeah, it's like artists that you wouldn't normally maybe get to see in the UK as well, because a lot of Americans play.
Are you a festival person, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love camping. I love it. I love walking around for ages in boots, meeting strangers and becoming friends and then moving on. I love it.
Oh, God. Do you know what? You just described like an anxiety dream for me.
Oh, no. Is that bad?
No, it's good.
Do you not like just meeting
it's good that you like. It's good that you love it. I mean, it's good, but it's just like, as you were describing it, it was like somebody had said, Leanne is going to name all of the things that you hate most in life.
You hate camping.
I can't.
Come on.
I cannot fathom it as a thing. Like,
I just don't think you've been doing it right.
Well,
and also you don't have to camp the whole time at the festival. I do this thing where I just camp until I can't take it anymore.
Oh, really?
And that could be one night, that could be two nights. Usually two and a half nights.
Two and a half. So like 3 a.m. on the third night, you just go and go into a hotel. We've got to get...
I'm like, wow, yeah, it's over for me now. I've got to go. And then I'll have a strategy. I'll have like a plan in place that can get me out of it.
Oh, nice. So, yeah. Maybe I should do that. Now, the thing I wanted to talk about, we're almost out of time, actually, because we spent 45 minutes talking about dinner. But what I wanted to ask you is, one of the things that was interesting, because obviously we sort of send out questions in advance and sort of get your take on stuff, and the constant flexing of wealth in hip hop. Now,
yeah, do you want to talk about
it? Well,
slightly scared to talk about it because I'm obviously there's so much complexity
sure.
to the layers
yeah.
that I don't know everything.
No,
I just know one.
Absolutely, but it's because
disclaimer.
Yeah, sure. Leanne is not saying that she is the absolute authority on. On the display, the flexing of
cultural complexity yeah. of flexing wealth in hip hop.
It's a really interesting one, though, isn't it? Because, like,
yeah.
you know, for example, if you listen to Juicy, right, like Biggie, the thing yes. about that is he says, I was here and now I'm here. And it's really great that I'm here, right? You know, I'm really happy that yes. I'm here. And I started off here. And that song to me feels uplifting. Do you know what I mean? Because you sort yeah. of go, this is a story of somebody moving up beyond their circumstances, right?
Yeah.
But
that's kind of inspiring.
Yes. But there's a lot.
You're rooting for him.
Exactly. But there's a lot of hip hop that's just sort of focuses on the there bit. And you're sort of talking about yeah. like, you're talking about what you've got, you know.
But there's no backstory.
No, exactly. So
we've got to assume that,
yes.
you know, you've made it there, but, you know. But like, I don't know, because in this world that we live in now, and it's so capitalistic, and you know, like, I think people are worried about buying into that too much as well. Because if you're in a privileged position, you know, I think you also want to be seen to be helping in some way if you can, using your privilege. So when we get hip hop, and it's just like, I've got this amazing bag and I've got this amazing car and all these diamonds. It's like, you know, that's really great. And I would love some diamonds, don't get me wrong. But like, you know, can we possibly reiterate it to say, like, I've got all this, but I am also willing to help communities
yes.
to,
yeah, yeah.
you know, advance themselves using my privilege and wealth in that hip-hop has brought me.
Yes.
Or something like that. I don't know.
I know what you mean. It's like, but it is a cultural thing. It's like, I sort of feel yeah, like...
It's definitely cultural.
I did a show with... and I was talking to Anthony Joshua about this, right? About, like, because yeah. he was talking about... He said, I did a video and he goes, and I sort of tilted my head so you could see the double R. I was in a Rolls Royce, right? Like, you know, he wasn't saying it in an arrogant way. He's just going, you know, you got to give him, he said it in a really charming way. You've got to give him a yeah. little bit of the, you know, that's, but, and I said to him,
yeah.
I said, do you feel like you want to do that? And he goes, I know like you can interpret that as like a little bit kind of arrogant or whatever, or you're flaunting. He goes, but it's just like, he goes, the way I see it is like, you're just showing a bit of sauce. Do you know what I mean? It's like, this is what I've got yeah. a little bit of, you know, I've got this thing, you know, like, and it's kind of like that thing of like almost, you know, like when you see people who are mega, mega rich, right? And people yeah. say, well, when you look at the ultra rich or the really wealthy people, they don't have a label emblazoned across their top.
No,
they don't have this.
That's the thing.
But the thing is that's because they didn't not have it. So you know, when you move into a place where you do have it, you just want to go, I fucking made it. Look, this is Balenciaga.
It's true, though. It is.
It's such a complex thing. But I think what you're saying is right. It's like you want to go, look, isn't this exciting? Because I've got this, that, and the other, right? You know, like you said, I'm not claiming that I'm the definitive article on this, and I'm issuing a disclaimer as well to go alongside Leanne's. But that thing of like going, what do you do with your wealth? You can do that, but then also above and beyond that, you can do something more positive. And like, you know, do we have enough records where people are talking about how they put money back into the community and they do this? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I agree with you. I know what you mean. It feels like there is a level of aspiration there, but there's an argument that aspiration should also be about taking what you've got and the blessings that you've got, mm-hmm. and creating something positive from those things. Do you know what I mean? I think.
Yeah, because my thing is, this is my personal opinion now, it's just like, how much money do you need just for you?
Yeah.
Really? To live a comfortable life, yes. Yeah. You got a certain level of comfort, right? But to actually be comfortable, you could argue you don't need billions of pounds to live a comfortable life. So I'm like, okay, we're gonna, if it was me, maybe there'd be, you know, a nice portion of that to go back into helping in some way. Maybe. Yes. I don't know. But you're definitely not a billionaire.
No. But apparently, and I know, and I'm fully aware that this is a lot of money, but apparently over and above, I've read somewhere, over and above £80,000 a year annual salary, over and above that, anything you make over and above that, in terms of your happiness index, the addition to your is negligible. Earning up to and including £80,000, you're talking about genuine increments in your happiness, you know, in your sort of satisfaction, contentment, whatever. And then over and above that, what you tend to do is you tend to cut your cloth accordingly. See, it's not like, do you know what I mean? You sort of, it
becomes relative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Apparently, do you know what I mean? But, mm-hmm. you know, it depends how much you like Dior Jordans or whatever, I suppose. But yeah.
And that's the thing. I don't want to, it's not to say that there aren't lots of high earning hip hop artists out there that aren't contributing something to their, to things that they care about.
Yeah.
So, you know, I can't possibly know, because also people don't all want to share that side of what they're doing as well.
Yeah.
I don't want to like be seen to be shitting on any of the cultural.
No, I know what you mean.
I know people that, you know, for them to earn loads of money when they came from, you know, very humble beginnings, it's an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
And life is to be enjoyed if you can. So there is also that, and I'm not trying to belittle that aspect of it.
No. Well, look, Leanne, time has flown. You have been...
It really has.
You have been a delightful guest. Like, one of the best ever guests, Rupert?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. No, you say that to all of them.
No, we don't.
Probably. Thank you so much. It's really an honour to be on here with you.
No, and thanks for coming on, Matt.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you.
And listen, obviously, your album came out last year. You've got shows coming up. What? Genuine question.
Yeah.
If we want to support you... By engaging with your album, what is the best way to do that? Is it buying a physical copy of it, or what?
I was going to say that as an analog lover, I would encourage you to buy a vinyl or a CD, but maybe vinyl. I think it sounds nicer, and I put a lot of effort into the actual, you know, the physical thing, because I think if, God forbid, if the internet just went off one day, how are we going to access all of our Spotify accounts? Yeah. We're going to turn to records and tapes. So I've made a lovely physical version for everyone's enjoyment. So yeah, if you want to do that, please do that.
Leon, you just absolutely scared the shit out of me. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Because I just suddenly thought, oh my God, if...
Leon for president.
No, but if there was a zombie apocalypse or some shit like that...
Yeah.
You don't have your digital music collection anymore, do you?
you don't have iCloud, you don't have QuickTime, don't have any of this anymore.
You kept all your vinyl though, Rom. At least you'd have it up to a certain period.
I've got loads of vinyl, but I'm pretty sure I'm not storing it in the appropriate way.
I was going to say, we need like a fire retardant packaging.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And to keep our vinyl players all safe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, please do buy Leanne's album on vinyl, okay?
But also, while we do have digital, please stream it.
Yeah, I mean, stream it as well. But
at your leisure.
Yeah, but what she's saying is, download. If you don't buy it on vinyl, you're not really supporting. That's what she's saying. You're sort of freeloading.
And also, we'll welcome any donations to celebrities in need.
Is that what you're calling
celebrities
it?
Need a shit or something.
Leanne, thank you so much for joining us, man. We really appreciate
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.